smell the goodies that are being baked over here across the way. And so you're invited to join us for that as well. I just want to say it's good to see each of you, and we've got so much to be thankful for. And we're going to have Thanksgiving services again later this week, but this was a joint way for us to combine these services today and have a fellowship meal right afterwards. Inside the pews, there are blue cards and yellowish cards. Please fill those out and let us know that you have those filled out. They will be collected right after the three lessons, and the second one will be collected at the time of offering. So if you'd fill those out and please place those again with the usher. God's richest blessings as we worship Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus, today. And please stand and welcome one another now. Please remain standing.
Peace the Lord, Pastor.
Peace the Lord, guy. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, who among us, Lord, could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, in word, and in deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins
and lead us to
everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by the authority of his word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, then, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray unto the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Together. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, and may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of his sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is the account of Jesus on the Via Della Rosa, the way of weeping and death, as he was led from his execution, pronounced by Pilate, to be condemned and ultimately crucified. Listen to the conversation that Jesus has with those gathered along that way. There followed Jesus a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but rather weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, so did the soldiers. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at Jesus, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over Jesus, "This is King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hung and hanged rather, rallied at him saying, "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him saying, "Do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please join us in our hymn. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Wow. Just looking at this day, I'd like to thank our choir for already doing some amazing, good music, and thank you. And by the way, they're still trying out a few more voices. I think there's one or two spots you could fill. Both hands? So we'd love to have you. If you've got a voice and would like to lend it to the singing of the Lord, please do so. And our bell choir did a wonderful job too, didn't they? Now, what do you have to be thankful for? If you could turn to someone next to you, close by, and it's not going to be hard today because you're so close together, what are you thankful for?
Everything.
Everything.
The list is endless, Pastor.
Okay, I like that, an endless list, but go ahead and talk to each other.
My Lord and my God.
Lord and my God, my family, my church. My faith. God's good, isn't he? God's good. Okay, enough of that. Come on. We want you to be thankful. I'm going to tell you. I got an idea. I'm going to. The country we live in is what one of our elders is telling us. The great U.S. of A. We're thankful for this nation. Amen. Amen. I have a list. You have a list you've just shared with. But personally, I remember that as we looked at some things that have happened already this past week, Anders, our grandson, 6-year-old now in kindergarten. Wow, quickly goes by. But his teacher asked him, "What are you thankful for?" And with that little 6-year-old voice, he says, "I'm thankful for my family." And what a beautiful thing that is for children to know they've got a mommy and a daddy, and to see and understand they brothers and sisters, and to just look at our families and how thankful they are and can be. I also remember a little girl that was at the CDC, the Child Development Center, when we asked that question, "What are you thankful for?" And in this 4-year-old little voice, you know, she says, "I'm so thankful for God." And I just loved it. Out of the mouths of babes, we're thankful and praising our Lord and our Savior. I too am thankful for my nation. I'm too thankful for my wife, my family, our church family. I'm thankful to be able to walk without the pain that I used to suffer. I'm thankful for my health. And I'm sure you have many things that you could put on that list and many things you're thankful for as well. There's a devotional written by a man, actually his wife, whose name was Oswald Chambers. He wrote a devotional that some of us in this congregation use on a daily devotional called "My Utmost for His Highest." And it is against this backdrop that I'd like to have you understand why these devotions are very powerful. These devotions were actually recorded by this man's wife compiling them after he had passed. But the devotions were originally given to men who are young men, soldiers facing impossible missions that most of them probably would not be returning. And so these messages were written during World War II at a time when these men would be not returning from their assignment most likely. His deep and powerful devotions prepared them, these brave soldiers, to literally fight the good fight of faith, even in the face of death. From our immersed Bible reading that our congregation together is going through, I would like to let you know that we've been reading through the book of Hebrews and James and the Gospel of John this past week. And as Jewish believers, the prologue tells us, they were facing persecution like these soldiers in the face of death for their faith in Jesus. Some were tempted to leave their faith. Emperor Nero had caused terrible persecution and suffering, and Paul and Peter, you were reminded, had already been executed. And the Colosseums were filled with Christians that were being tortured and killed in a variety of manners. Christians who were also Jewish seemed to have, however, an easy way out. Judaism was a protected religion in the Roman Empire. And Jews who had this faith could come under the umbrella of being able to say, "Well, I'm Jewish, I'm a Jew of Judaism, of faith, and I deny Jesus," and they would save their earthly life. But the author, like Oswald Chambers, urged these people not to deny their faith, even in the face of trouble, of persecution, and even death. And he argues there's no coming back. Some of us may be experiencing troubles. John's gospel is also written to Christians living one generation after Christ walked the face of this earth. The Jewish leaders had now announced that anyone who says that Jesus is the Messiah, they would be expelled from the synagogue. The local synagogues was a place where all the commerce and the business and the meeting and all the communications were. This was a community of people like them. They knew each other by name. And if they were cast out of the synagogue, all of their way of life would come to a screeching halt. They were outcasts. The epistle of James reminded the people that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life, James says, the crown of life of God that he has promised to love them with. And when troubles of any kind would come, it was an opportunity for them to have great joy. For you know that when faith is tested, he writes, your endurance has come to a place of growth, a chance to grow. In the context of your life and mine, how are we suffering? How do we pick up our daily crosses? Some of us, I realize, this Thanksgiving will have an empty seat at the dinner table. People that we loved will not be there with us because they've gone to heaven. That will be something that will be very much missed. Or perhaps it's a serious sickness, a time of hospitalization, or troubles and temptations and trials in life. But like Oswald Chambers, like the book of Hebrews, like James and the Gospel of John, don't deny your faith. God is with you. And what God's word is telling us is to hold on to your faith. God is faithful and he will not abandon nor will he forsake you. You know, I've found in my ministry a lot of times we need to simply wait 3 days. 3 days. Because in 3 days Jesus went from death to life. And through his death to life, it meant that you and I have eternal life. And the victory over death itself was pronounced. And so often in our world, sometimes we need to wait those 3 days for God's redemption and God's redeeming, resurrecting power to go at work at the situation that we're in. You know, I don't know what the future holds for any of us, but I know the one that holds the future. That's a popular saying, but it's a powerful one as we start to look at it. God has promised everything that we are to receive, and he promised it through Jesus. Jesus is that funnel. He's the vehicle, the vessel through which we receive it all. And we also understand from scriptures, it was through Jesus that he created the universe. In the beginning, Jesus laid the foundations, Hebrews tells us, and the earth, and he made the heavens. And in the Gospel of John, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And all things that were made through this word, Jesus. Everything that was created by him, for him, and through him, and to this very day, he sustains all things. This is the Jesus that you and I have. No matter what happens in our world, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And when we start to see this, we start to understand also that it was God himself who said of his son, you, Jesus, are my son. Your throne, O God, endures forever. We have this creator king then, who made the world and who rules into eternity. And you and I have that victory that he promises, for we are his children and he is our God. In the book of Hebrews, we must also learn from each other, that we must warn one another every day so that none of us be deceived and hardened against God. Also, let us not abandon worshiping together as the habit of some, he writes. Let us also be in the Word of God because it is the power of God unto our salvation and is a light to lighten our path and for us to walk our everyday life by. Let us also realize what we have in the Bible. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to separate bone from marrow. And everything is laid naked, exposed to see what it really is. God is able to judge not only our thoughts, but the motives of our words and of our hearts. And when we see that, we see the Word of God at work in our life. And now in our congregation is together. We are immersed in God's holy Word. Today I was able to go to Bible class, and what a blessing that was to me to be able to fellowship with you and to hear the Word of God and to see it taught and talked about in its truth and its purity, and to be able to celebrate the fellowship that in that one combined Bible class we had together. And now to be able to worship together as one and to see and to celebrate the things that God is doing. But even though we know that we have all fallen short and are stained by sin, and are born in sin, we hear from this same message in Scripture that we have a Savior sent by God Himself because He loved us. And He seeks to save us and to give us eternal life. The writer of Hebrews asked believers who were thinking and considering about denying their faith, walking away, washing their hands of it, how can you deny so great a salvation, an eternal one? He stated that it's impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit. It is my prayer that none would walk away from their faith, but all would express faith in their Savior Jesus. God makes promises and oaths, and God's promises are binding. Cannot be broken. God binds Himself to His word, His promises, so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure He would never change His mind. God promises that your sins are forgiven if you believe in Jesus. He won't change His mind. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. You really are clean. Just as certainly as Jesus, through the word we hear, said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's redemptive, creative powers are at work. His word is true, and it will actively go to fulfill what He says. God has made an oath to you, a promise. And Jesus is our high priest who, all for us, offered one time for all a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the guarantee from God of a better covenant than the children of Israel ever had with Moses. Jesus is our faithful high priest who's able to offer His life as a sacrifice for sin. He lives forever to intercede then with God on our behalf. His holy and blameless, unstained life offered a sacrifice for our sins. He offered Himself for the sins of the world, yours and mine included, upon God's altar, Calvary's cross. Thanks be to God that Jesus suffered death and is now crowned with a glory and honor, because His victory is also our victory. And yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for all of us. Death is the final enemy that each and every one of us are going to face before leaving this world. And we see in Christ, the one who made this oath that He will be raised from death to life, and that all who believe in Him have the assurance that they too will be raised. They too will be forgiven. And they too can experience not only abundant life here and now, but eternal life in the resurrection. Only by dying could Jesus break the power of the devil who held the power of death over us because we were sinners. Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the devil is now defeated, doomed, and damned. And we have been able to escape that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The devil can no longer accuse you or condemn you, and the blood of Christ covers and cleanses you from all sins. Your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west, and are cast down deep into the sea. God testifies to all the world that He will give you a new covenant. He'll put his law in our minds and we'll write them in our hearts. I will be their God, he says, and they will be my people. God wants a relationship with you. What can we do then? Everyday life, what can we do? It says, keep on loving one another as long as life lasts. That's a good Thanksgiving message. Spur one another unto acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect worship. And then there's a warning. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer a sacrifice for our sins, but an expectation of God's judgment. And then it says, honor marriage. And later it says, be free from the love of money. Let it not rule your hearts. Abiding in faith. Remember how you remained faithful even when it meant terrible suffering. Hang on. Even though there's public ridicule, beating, and imprisonments. We are told in Hebrews, you knew and you know that there are better things you're waiting for that you will receive, and they will last forever. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that awaits you and me. Therefore, let us strip off everything that entangles and weighs us down, especially the sins that so easily entangle us. And this is very important. Let us run our race with endurance. Your race is different than my race. And the crosses that you carry will be different from the cross I carry. And the burdens that you bear will be different from one another's. But what should we do? We must remember to keep our eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loved you so much that he sent him to suffer and to die to save you. Don't deny that. Remember what he's promised, his oath. I will never leave you, nor fail you, nor forsake you, nor abandon you. And with that, I offer this closing prayer, a Thanksgiving prayer of sorts, for you personally, and for us together as Trinity. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. What are you thankful for? My Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we confess our faith this Sunday in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, one baptism. And I look for the resurrection of the dead, life of the world to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we ask that you would bless us as we are reminded to be thankful. Help us always to be full of thanks in the many blessings in which you bring us, and to be satisfied with those things you blessed us with, like Paul, to be able to say, I've learned to be content in all and every circumstance. For it is you, O Lord, who are with us, and you are the one who blesses us with these blessings. So for that, we give you thanks. Whether they be many or few, we thank you for that which you've given us. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless our ministry and congregation as we, with thankful hearts, want to share this wondrous good news with so many people. We ask that you would help us today as individuals to be able to share over the course of this Thanksgiving and coming Christmas season the truth of your word and of your love for our family members, for those who know you as Lord, to celebrate that, for those who don't know you, that they might become those who hear your message and might even be able to be a part of that family of believers. So, Lord, into your hands we place all our witness, all our celebration. May it all glorify you as we give you thanks. We thank you, dear Jesus, that you have brought us together today as one to worship you, to praise you, one in Bible study, one in worship, and one in fellowship of this meal. We ask your blessing upon us. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day. We thank you for that which is upon our hearts, upon our thoughts, and upon our minds. Those that have been collected, we will actually be praying for at the congregation, so you will be aware of that, our elders and myself, for those requests that have been submitted. I also would like to say, O Lord, may you bless those prayers that have been unspoken and unsaid yet, and bring your will to bear and your answer to come. Into your hands we place them and their request. Lord, in your mercy. Congregation may be seated. I'd like to announce at this time the offering will be taken, and at this time the cards will be received by the ushers and elder. Also, I'd like to announce during this time of communion that there will be, like there is on Christmas Eve and like there is at the 9:30 service, two lines for Holy Communion. I'll be standing towards the front pew, and then you can receive the host, and from there you can go to either to the right or to the left, and you will be able to, at that point, receive the blood, the wine. And so as a result, you will be able to receive communion in that fashion. You will not be coming to the communion rail this time. God's richest blessings as we continue to worship. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name, saying and singing, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd broken it and blessed it, he gave the thanks and he gave it unto his disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. give you thanks, Almighty God, that you've refreshed us through this gift, and we implore you of your mercy that you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Would like to remind the congregation there is a fellowship dinner immediately following the service, and we would like to say you can simply exit out this side door, and at this time I would like to say that I will greet you there, and someone will be at the back to greet those who are going out the back door. I would like to now have a prayer for that meal so that once you get over there, you can just dig in. The other thing is Ted Lang has so desired to have this happen that, Ted, I'm going to give you honorary first person in line. He has ever since wanted to have this time. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. May you bless the food upon which we are about to receive and the fellowship that is ours in one faith, one hope, one baptism, and in this one worship and study of your word this day, now as we feast together upon the fellowship of friendship and brotherhood and sisterhood, all because of you, Jesus. Thank you and bless this time and food that we will receive. Amen. You may be seated. We have a few announcements.
Glorious day he's given us for our feast. The first one is Thanksgiving is around the corner, so we have a 7 p.m. and a 10 a.m. on Thanksgiving. All the tags have been taken for the tree in the back. They ask that you bring in all your gifts by the 24th, Sunday, November 24th. Our next big event is Lake Eola, December 6th. We're still looking for volunteers to set up, man the coffee table, the arts and craft table, and the picture table. So if you'd like to volunteer for one of those, email Chanda or email me or my wife Terry, and we can set you up with that. The next one is a lot of people have been doing Immerse. Some of us are entering the last week, some of us are just on the seventh week. So God blessing to everybody that's doing that. You can get it, if you don't have the book, you can get it online through the website or podcast. And the last one before we do the video of Immerse is the elders have heard a lot of people asking, who is my elder? So in February, we're going to have a barbecue so that you can meet your elders. It'll probably be the first week of February, and you won't have to pay anything, but just bring a dessert. The elders are doing the barbecue. We're going to have some tickets in the back, if you'll take them, so that we know how many people will be there so that we can plan for the food. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to say we're going to dispense with the showing of that three-minute video. I'd just like to let us know that if you are interested in going to Immerse, it will begin on January 5th that week. We are taking some pre-orders of the next book called Beginnings. It will be over Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers and Deuteronomy. So if you are interested in that and would like to start or continue the study, we will be going through those books next over the following 8 weeks, beginning January 5th. Comments are really very wonderful about what we experienced together in the study of Immerse already from the first book, so we hope you'll join us. Again, let us know if you would like to pre-order a book. It'll save about $4 on each copy, approximately. I wish you also to invite you once again to our fellowship immediately following. We've had the prayer, so go on over, get your food, and get started praying, and make sure Ted gets first in line. God's blessings to you, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We hope to see you on Thanksgiving Eve or Thanksgiving Day. Please stand and join us with Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.